Back in the Mesozoic era, between 245 and 65 million years ago, dinosaurs roamed the Earth. And when they died, if the conditions were just right, their skeletons slowly turned from bone to stone, leaving behind a precious fossil. But you knew all that from your middle school science class, right? What you might not know is that there's a big international market for fossils, and some of it is illegal. That's the world described in a new book called The Dinosaur Artist: Obsession, Betrayal, and the Quest for Earth's Ultimate Trophy. Author Paige Williams, who's also a staff writer for The New Yorker, spent more than a decade investigating the past, present, and future of the trade. And at the heart of her book is the tension between the people who hunt and sell fossils commercially and the academic paleontologists.
There used to be no tension between them. The way we even got into natural history as human beings was that we walked around and we looked at interesting things and we wondered what they were and what made them and what we might learn about the history of the Earth from them. But then when paleontology developed as a science, there arose this tension between people who hunt fossils for fun and as hobby and the scientists who need those objects in order to do their science. These are the objects that are fundamental to their science. So there's been tension surrounding who has a right to look for objects of natural history and fossils in particular, and who has the right not just to hunt them, but also to collect them, to work with them, to display them, to own them. And some scientists see the value in the commercial side, as long as it's not something rare, like a vertebrate fossil that's going to not be found anywhere else.
Is there a market? Are people, like, buying fossils?
They
because,
do.
Because, like, for commercial purposes, for gifts and things like that.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And because they enjoy collecting. Collectors are obsessives, and they're fascinating in that way because they will, as Martin Arel says in the book, he's met fossil collectors who don't just take 10 or don't just collect, you know, 20. Their whole house is layered with them, even in the dishwasher. He found some fossils in one person's house. So collector obsession drives the market. Science classrooms drive the market. Hobbyists who like to go out hiking and just looking for keepsakes of the world around them collect them. And then most of the market happens either these days online or at the big trade shows that happen in Tucson and Denver and Munich and Tokyo. And so people just flood those cities during those market times. And it's like walking around a department store, but for natural history. And there's tension even surrounding that. Like, should that be happening? Should scientific objects be commercialized to the point that anybody can have them?
How does this play out in the United States? I mean, we mentioned this sort of the international market for fossils, but do we have rules in this country? Are there fossil limitations for how many fossils you can actually have, or is it just an open market?
It depends on where you are. It's a really good question. The federal lands, you can't collect fossils, except for some sort of surface-level fossils that don't require you to disturb the earth or to dig. Vertebrates, certainly not, like dinosaurs on federal land. No, that's illegal. So the national parks have some dinosaurs, for example. BLM land, the Bureau of Land Management property, which is vast, especially in the American West, has loads of fossils. And it's illegal to go and take those objects off that property. But in the United States, and this is the only country that's like this, if you find a fossil of any sort, no matter whether it's new to science or one of thousands, if it's on your property or on property where you have permission to collect or dig or hunt, you can keep it, you can destroy it, you can sell it, you can do anything you want to with it. So property rights in this country have taken precedence over, the scientists would say, taken precedence over a more robust protection system for fossils.
So we've talked about the United States, but in your book, you talk a lot about Mongolia. Tell us why this is such an important player in this fossil trade.
It's an important player in paleontology because the Gobi Desert is such a wonderland of fossils. It has been called the Garden of Eden of fossils because so many types of fossils have been found there, and in such abundance and in such good shape, because there's nothing in the Gobi and nothing's been built on top of them. So the bones there are very beautiful and pristine, and the coloring is gorgeous. And so they're extraordinary to work with in that way. In terms of the trade, they're illicit materials. So when they started turning up, when Gobi dinosaurs in particular started turning up at trade shows and at market, some commercial hunters thought, oh, they must have changed the law, so now we can all go in and, or if you're a risk taker, we can go in and look for our own. Others thought, nope, this is not, it's not okay. It's still illegal, and everyone must beware. But no one was really policing this area. So when the Gobi dinosaurs started showing up, they rivaled American dinosaurs in some ways.
So we sort of touched on this, but in your book, you also write about the black market for the fossil trade, and you focus on one case in particular. And this is the case of a 28-foot-long skeleton of a T-Rex cousin found in Mongolia that went to auction in 2012. So you've already told us that it's illegal to sell any fossils found in the country. So how big is the black market?
It's hard to know whether a black market and how it expands. The market existed. The black market existed before this case. This certainly did have an effect on how people see the black market. And since this case happened, I've been told by a lot of commercial dealers that they self-police in a way that they weren't policing the trade before.
For fear of
going to prison, for fear of being almost as bad, labeled as a dealer who can't be trusted or whom no one wants to work with. So in terms of how big the black market in Gobi Desert dinosaurs or any dinosaurs is, it's hard to put a number on that. And whether it's expanded, I don't know.
Paige, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Paige Williams is the author of The Dinosaur Artist, and it's out today.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.